Wisconsin voters had to weigh their health with their civic duty Tuesday as our state became the test case for voting in the age of the coronavirus. You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be here. We have the chairs of the Democratic and Republican parties with us for the hour, and we'll start our conversation with the spring election. Thousands of voters congregated hours in long lines outside polling stations in some parts of the state. Thousands more stayed home, unwilling to risk their health in the midst of a statewide stay-at-home order and unable to be counted because they had requested ballots and never arrived in their mailbox. So what questions do you have for the leaders of the Democratic and the Republican Party of Wisconsin? What do you want to convey to the parties? We're at 800-642-1234. Ben Wickler chairs the Democratic Party. Ben, welcome back to the Ideas Network. Hey, Ben, can you hear me? I think we're having some...
Thank you so much, Katie. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, no, that's okay. Yeah, our mute button can be the worst enemy. Andrew Hitt is here as well. He chairs the Republican Party. Andrew, thank you for joining us.
Good to be here, Kate, and good to talk again with you, Ben.
Good to be here with you, Andrew.
So, Andrew, let's start with you. Why did Republicans oppose Governor Evers' last-minute orders seeking to postpone the April 7th election?
So I think the key word there is really last minute. We have a constitution. We have rules. We have statutes. The governor all along said that he didn't have the power to unilaterally change the election. And then at the 11th hour, he did. There's a lot of damage done to the Constitution when an elected official says, I don't have the power to do X, and then turns around and does X. You know, all through March and into April, even as recently as April 3rd, you know, he said, folks, I can't do this. I can't move this election and change the rules on my own. My hands are tied. If public health officials, if DHS failed to educate, advise him leading up to this in March, that's on them. But the last minute change is something that was not constitutional. And in our democracy, in our state, we cannot have a last minute unconstitutional action by an elected official.
Ben,
it is just such a slippery slope, such a slippery slope.
But Ben Wickler, for weeks, Governor Evers opposed delaying the election, repeatedly insisted that, as Andrew was saying, his hands were tied, couldn't legally change the election date himself. What changed there on that Friday afternoon at the last moment?
You know, Andrew just referred to a slippery slope. And what we saw instead is Robin Voss, the Assembly Speaker and Scott Fitzgerald, pushed Wisconsin off a cliff. As the days went by over the last few weeks, I'm not sure if the Republican legislators noticed, but the governor issued a stay-at-home order because a pandemic disease is killing dozens of Wisconsinites, infecting thousands, potentially tens of thousands of Wisconsinites. And as the situation got worse, first, a couple days after the stay-at-home order, Governor Evers asked for every Wisconsinite to be mailed a ballot. That was a way, it would have been a big logistical lift, but that would have been a way to protect people from having to go out and vote. Republican legislators rejected it. A lawsuit in federal court was proceeding. Republicans sued to intervene, to oppose moving the election or even expanding access to absentee votes the day after the federal judge said that the legislature had to act and that the governor had to act to move the election. Governor Evers did call on the Republican state legislature to move the election, to postpone it and shift to vote by mail. At that point, we were watching the wave of death grow. We were seeing the scale of the outbreak. It was close to the election. The scale of the emergency was vivid at that moment, and Republicans immediately rejected the proposal, spent about 17 seconds in a pseudo special session of the state assembly, refused to act in the face of obvious lethal danger. So at that point, Governor Evers tried the one thing he had left, which was to exercise emergency powers. But of course, the Republican Party immediately sued to the state Supreme Court to override that and made sure that the conservative justices ruled that the governor didn't have the power to do that, and then sued to the United States Supreme Court to block access to extended absentee votes. And now we have thousands, maybe tens or hundreds of thousands of Wisconsinites disenfranchised, and we don't know how many Wisconsinites are going to get sick and are going to die because the Republican legislature refused to pay attention to every public health expert in our state, to the Wisconsin Public Health Association, to the call of the entire country. People are not just aghast, but people are now in grave danger and potentially infecting family members because they don't know that they now have coronavirus because of the actions of our state legislators.
We're discussing this week's election with the chairs of the Wisconsin Republican and Democratic parties. We have Andrew Hitt, who chairs the Republican Party. Ben Wickler chairs the Democratic Party. And you, your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Andrew, on Tuesday, voters at the polls widely reported requesting absentee ballots but never receiving them. And then yesterday, Republican State Senator Dan Fion said three large tubs of ballots turned up, located by postal workers. Should voters have been given more time to receive and cast absentee ballots?
Well, look, voters were given a lot of time to cast absentee ballots. The federal court judge kept pushing back the request date, which is part of the reason this happened. See, when you don't follow the law, when you have activist judges doing things that do damage to our Constitution, you have consequences for that. And that is very, very unfortunate. Also unfortunate is this happens actually every election, that there are requests made at the end and a ballot doesn't get there on time. For example, I have a family member.
But this could be many, many ballots, not just a single ballot. We're talking many people.
Yes. Excuse me. I have a family member who requested one on April 2nd. It was mailed April 3rd and it arrived April 8th. That family member went to the polls and voted, and that's what Wisconsinites do each year. Here in Wisconsin, though, we had some opportunities for voting by car, drive-through voting. That's different than curbside voting, which you can actually request, and everybody can have the benefit of curbside voting if they are disabled or not able to go inside or it's not safe. So, you know, we have to be cognizant of what the law is and what the facts are. And the facts are that on March 28th, not right after the stay at home order, but nearly 10 or 12 days after the stay at home order, actually more than that, over two weeks later, that's when Governor Evers asked for ballots to be mailed to every registered voter. And unfortunately, that's a disingenuous request and claim.
Well,
we are not able to do it. We're not prepared to do it. Even the elections administrator said we couldn't do it.
Well, let's take a quick call here. Mark in Romance. Mark, hi.
Thank you for taking my call. Preface, I recently retired from Gunderson Health System in La Crosse. While I worked in the mental health side, I worked with many people on the medical side. And I want people to pay attention. In the next 7 to 10 days, the number of new cases that will be going up will be largely on the hands of the Republicans. The deaths that will be following in about 20 days is on the Republicans. But I don't let the Democrats off either. They need to learn how to fight. I've got colleagues, friends of mine that I worked with for 21 years who are on the front lines of this, and some of them are going to die, and some of them are going to die because of the actions that the Republicans took playing the game with this election. It's disgusting. I'm thoroughly disgusted with both parties.
Mark, pausing. Thank you, Mark. Andrew Hitt is here, leads the Republican Party of Wisconsin. Ben Wickler, chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. We'll be back in just a moment here on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer. Ken, thanks for being here. We're talking with the chairs of the state Republican and Democratic parties, as we saw this week, The highest courts in Wisconsin and the nation split along ideological lines to reject Democratic efforts to defer voting in Tuesday's primary. Some legal scholars said the extraordinary rulings could undermine confidence in the rule of law. Others said they were the product of judicial philosophy, not a partisan divide. So how do you think Wisconsin should handle future elections if the pandemic continues? How do you want to see Democrats and Republicans working together? Where can they find common ground? We're at 800-642-1234. We have Andrew Hitt, who is chairman of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. Ben Wickler is here, chairman of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Andrew, voters in northern Wisconsin have another election May 12th to fill the 7th congressional district seat left vacant by former Representative Sean Duffy. How do Republicans want that election to run?
Well, I suspect that it will run very smoothly, like elections did all over Wisconsin, like polling places did all over Wisconsin. Certainly the clerks in the 7th congressional district are going to do a good job and make sure that they keep people as safe as possible. That's completely the opposite of what we saw with the Milwaukee County clerk, with the Green Bay mayor. Complete failure of leadership in those places, refused help, didn't plan. The National Guard was available, and for some reason, they didn't take it. It's a failure of leadership on their part. That's not something we're going to see, I suspect, in the 7th Congressional District, because unlike Milwaukee and Green Bay, the other polling places around the state, the vast majority, well over 90%, did an excellent job yesterday. Even Dane County, and I obviously don't agree with the Dane County clerk all the time. I sued him about a little less than 2 weeks ago in the state Supreme Court and won. But Dane County did a good job yesterday with their polling places.
Tuesday.
Suspect that we will see the same thing. Tuesday, sorry, losing track of my days.
That's okay. Yeah.
Around now. But I suspect the 7th Congressional District clerks will do a great job.
Well, let's bring in another call now. Alan in Augusta. Hi, Alan.
Hi. I went out and voted on Tuesday, and you see, I set my alarm. I was actually made sure that I was the first person in the poll just to make sure it was a lot less of a gauntlet. And I've heard that hundreds of thousands of absentee ballots got mailed out and didn't even make it, which truly makes the election illegitimate. People who wanted their voices heard didn't even get the opportunity to, trying to keep themselves safe. I also heard about the curbside or drive-through voting. Well, where I live, that wasn't even an option. So,
Alan, thank you. Yeah, thank you for your call. John, driving through Menominee, parallels what Alan is saying and asked, how can this election be considered legitimate when there were such limited opportunities to vote in Milwaukee? Ben, I want to toss this to you. Should there be a do-over here for this election?
You know, there were 3,831 state and local offices on the ballot. And that's why both parties initially really hoped to be able to do the election on time. Once it became clear that that could cost people their lives, the leadership and one party, mayors of both parties, did everything they could to try to get people ballots by mail, tried to move the election date so that we could do this safely, and the Republican Party blocked every possible course. Now, after the election votes are released on Monday, with that many voters, with that many candidates on the ballot, it's hard to imagine that none of them will try to sue to invalidate the results. I don't know what we're going to see in terms of litigation and facts on the ground. I can certainly say I think we have to do everything within our power, from fighting for legal changes to fighting in courts to make sure that this never, ever, ever happens again. But the first election coming up is the May 12th election, as you named. And I want to ask Andrew to please join Democrats and urge Republicans in the legislature to make that a safe vote by mail. There is no reason why, as the pandemic potentially is peaking in our state, that we should send rural voters across northern Wisconsin into in-person polling places. This virus was concentrated in Milwaukee, Most of all, there's incredibly high rates of infection. That's why so many poll workers dropped out, wave upon wave of them. It's why the mayor of Milwaukee was urging for this election to be delayed. That's why we saw this incredible danger of a handful of polling places, because they didn't have the workers, and there's chaos as people pack into emergency rooms and hospitals right now. But we're about to see that same story play out in rural Wisconsin, and I don't want Republicans or Democrats or anyone else to be exposed to coronavirus in order to cast a ballot. No one should have to choose between their right to vote and their ability to protect their health.
Andrew, chair of the Republican Party, should Wisconsin switch to mail-only elections for the rest of the year?
I'll be clear. No, they should not. We have many opportunities to do absentee voting in Wisconsin. We had a couple weeks, 2 to 3 weeks, in a number of places to do absentee voting. We expected about 2 million people to vote. Over half of those voted absentee. I think at the end of the day, we'll see about probably, once we get our turnout numbers, we'll see 2/3 of the electorate voted by absentee. Our system is not set up to do mail election. It is not. The elections administrator said so. Switching to vote by mail and switching how we do elections quickly in a time of crisis is going to lead to more problems like we saw when the Madison judge switched the deadlines for absentee, and now we are in this issue. When you do damage to the Constitution, when you ignore the laws, this is what happens. It would take months and months, if not more than a year, to make sure our regulations and our statutes are in place to switch to an all-mail election. And that is something that the public has got to weigh in on and discuss in the public process through the legislative process.
Let's bring in another call. Mike is joining us from New London this morning. Hi, Mike.
Good morning. I wanted to share that my wife and I did get absentee ballots and voted a week ahead, so that went well. But I truly do see that Evers attempted by calling legislators a session, they gavel in, gavel out, kind of a smart aleck thing. It appears to be the GOP and the conservative courts just control ideology over truth, over country, and over now life and death. That's just their motto. And I'll take anything off the air. Thank you.
Andrew, a week ago, U.S. District Judge William Conley criticized lawmakers for not postponing the election and said he would allow hearing and post-election challenges. So what would you say to that, that Republicans here are just not playing ball?
Well, first of all, he criticized the governor as well. In fact, that's when we saw all of a sudden the governor start changing his tune when he got criticized by a federal judge. Nothing changed in this time period. Public health officials, if they came to the governor last minute and forced him to do this unconstitutional act, we need to know about it. We need to know what he was advised and when. That's what we need to know. I suspect that there will be legal challenges after this, and I suspect that I will prevail in those litigations just like I prevailed in every other litigation during this time period. Instead of filing lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit, we should have been focused on preparing for this election. It was a distraction.
Let's go to Vicky now in Mequon.
There are healthcare workers who are putting their lives on the line right now, and some of them are getting coronavirus, spreading it to their families if they're not able to quarantine from them, and some of those people will die. Every Wisconsinite has taken their kids home from school, has totally changed the way that they're doing every aspect of their lives, and the legislature had the chance to do the same thing, to meet the most minimal test of leadership and protect the public. This should not have happened in the courts. This should have happened through the legislature, but the Republicans refused to act. I have this memory, vivid memory as a child, of walking onto a train track and turning to my right and seeing a train about 30 feet away rushing towards me, and I jumped off the track. And when that moment came for our state, Robin Boston Scott Fitzgerald pinned Wisconsin to the tracks as the train hit us. It just hit us. We just won't experience the death that result for another 3 or 4 weeks. The idea that somehow this isn't in the hands of the legislature when they had a session where they refused to take the action that everyone agrees who's looking at this from a public health perspective we needed to take, it leaves me with just an extraordinary feeling of both sadness and frustration, because we did not have to be in this situation. And we're about to do it again on May 12th if the legislature doesn't act now.
We're talking.
Unfortunately, Kate, over and over, the governor said we're going to have this election. The governor didn't request a change for weeks.
And we have
this
to
last minute attempt to blame Republicans. It's not OK. That's not what happened. Those are not the facts. And changing at the last minute is also unacceptable. Over 1 million people voted absentee. 2/3 of the electorate that voted absentee. We had opportunities to vote, and we can take those.
Andrew Hitt is with us, the chair of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, Ben Wickler, chair of the Democratic Party, and you. Back in a moment after this news update on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be here. Right now, we're spending the hour with the chairs of the Democratic and Republican parties of Wisconsin. One of the biggest fights of this year's presidential election may be over the election itself and how to hold it during the coronavirus. Our state proved to be a testing ground Tuesday. We've been hearing vote by mail or mail-in voting really thrust to the center of this escalating partisan conflict over how to stage future elections as the pandemic continues. We have Andrew Hitt, who is chairman of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. Ben Wickler is here, who chairs the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. They both stay with us. Taking another call now, Vicki is joining us from Mequon. Hi, Vicki.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. This is directed at the Republican, and I think you have failed miserably. I think Tony Evers did make a mistake. But the idea that changing the elections at the last minute is not acceptable is unbelievable to me. If the facts show that you should change the election. Trump, Dr. Fauci, Dr. Brix, they're all pleading for us to stay at home. I just don't know if you don't turn on the TV or get email updates, but you should have changed. But your second defense is that your hands are tied because of the laws in place. You have the majority, and I want to know what you're going to do to change the law so that we don't get into this situation again. This pandemic was predicted. Public health officials have been shouting it out for years. It's not if, but when. Another pandemic may even come on us in the fall with a second wave. So what are you going to do to change the law to make sure this doesn't happen again?
Andrew Hitt.
Sure. First of all, should we have a vote? Should we change an election in a crisis? Is a very slippery slope that leads to our freedoms disappearing. Second of all, no, we are not going to switch to all-mail election. Absentee is very different than an all-mail election. Everyone did a hard push to get people to vote absentee, and I would encourage that for the 7th Congressional District race, and I would encourage that for the fall if there are still lingering issues. We are not set up for a mail-only election. The Elections Commissioner said that. If you look at other states, we have to understand the facts here. If you look at other states, it takes way more than a few months, 6 months, and even more than a year to get your rules, your regulations, and everything set up to do something like that. The last thing I would say is I am very concerned about this push for mail only. You know, that is an opportunity for more fraud.
What concerns you?
I'm getting to that. What concerns me is all the ballots are mailed out. Everybody knows that everybody has a ballot. The opportunity for personal pressure and the opportunity to pressure somebody and for somebody to knock on the door and say, go get your ballot, let's fill it out, is exponential. The most secure way to do an election is to go to a polling place. And when you make changes, especially changes to our voting process and our democracy, and you do it as a result of a crisis or you do it in a crisis, that is when we start to lose our democracy, our freedom. That's when mistakes get made. That's why we see what happened with the mistake made not following the law and going outside the law by changing the absentee dates. That's why we are in this position we are with absentees not making it to folks.
Ben Wickler, fraud and scams and pressures, are those real downfalls of a mail-only election?
You know, Andrew spoke glowingly about the million-plus absentee ballots that will be cast. And I am proud of Wisconsinites, so many Wisconsinites, for finding a way to get online to upload a photo of their voter ID requirement that is makes no sense, and requesting absentee ballots online. All the things that Andrew purports to be concerned about with mailing people ballots also would exist for absentee ballots. But the fact is that investigation after investigation has found an almost zero rate of fraud when it comes to voting in mail ballot states and in in-person voting states. This is a mirage. It's an illusion. This is fundamentally about one thing, which is an effort to suppress the vote. Watching those gigantic lines in Milwaukee, which we knew were going to happen because we knew when the Republican legislature refused to move the election, they knew at that point that Milwaukee was down to 10 or 12 polling places. They knew people were going to be at risk because so many poll workers had dropped out and they still refused to move the election. And I don't think we've seen Republican states like Ohio switch to all-mail balloting this spring in the space of a few weeks because all of us are called upon to do tough things right now to protect the public's health. But in Wisconsin, the GOP made a calculation, and I don't know whether they decided a specific number of deaths that would be acceptable in order to force the election to happen as currently planned in order to prevent some people from voting, or if they just let the numbers be what they would be and move forward. But whatever their justification was internally, it made no sense in a public health crisis that has upended every aspect of our lives. We all need to do stuff right now that is different in order to protect our democracy, to protect our health, and eventually to get our economy to work again. And the Republican legislature just failed the most basic moral test of leadership.
If you're just joining us, we're discussing state and national politics this hour with the chairs of the Wisconsin Republican and Democratic parties. We have Andrew Hitt here and Ben Wickler, who are with us respectively from the Republican and Democratic parties, and you at 800-642-1234 as we discuss Tuesday's election and wider topics around the federal and state response to COVID-19. Let's take another call now. Kim is joining us from Balsam Lake this morning. Hi, Kim.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to correct a point of fact that the Republican chair brought up. He said that Milwaukee and Green Bay refused help. But on the Wisconsin Elections Commission blog, I noted that there were 264 National Guard in Milwaukee and a similar, I think it was 132 maybe, in Green Bay. So I don't really think that they refused help. But I wanted to note that my mom and a lot of people I know really had problems with uploading their ID to request their absentee ballot as they were trying to socially isolate. People that don't have smartphones, that don't have access to internet, that don't necessarily have computers or tech skills, really were flummoxed by this ID requirement. And I found it interesting that even people like myself who had previously requested online ballots had to also upload our IDs again, even though they were on file with our clerk's office. So I think that this is really cutting out a lot of people from the voting process and disenfranchising people without access to technology because the libraries are closed, copy shops are closed, and the clerks were so overwhelmed with the number of requests that they couldn't be as helpful as they normally are. And that's my comment. Thank you.
Kim, thanks for the call. Andrew, you know, we've heard a number of callers this week talk about voter suppression, talk about disenfranchisement, talk about access to technology and not having things like smartphones to be able to ask for that absentee ballot. How would you respond to that?
Well, first of all, let me just correct. The city of Green Bay had one National Guard person, and I know that the city of Green Bay for weeks refused volunteers. I have a declaration to be filed in court that's true. The long lines in Milwaukee are not the result of the legislature. The long lines in Milwaukee are the result of the Milwaukee clerk and the absolute failure of leadership to not realize that there was help, that he should have called for the National Guard, that he should have done a number of things.
So you're saying that
we're going to see a spike in Milwaukee. It's because we went from 180 polling locations down to 5. That wasn't the legislature's call. In terms of her question on photo ID, that's why even in the fog of fighting all of these lawsuits at the Republican Party of Wisconsin, we did a video and we pushed that video out to how to vote absentee. And we also then heard that people were having trouble uploading IDs. So we did a video on how to do that, how to upload your ID, how to take a picture of it and get that done. So there are things that we did. There are things that can be done in the absentee process. It is not perfect in a pandemic. I don't argue with that. But to change our laws, to ignore the Constitution in a crisis, we've seen this time and time again in our history. When we change laws, when we ignore the Constitution in a time of crisis, it comes back to bite us.
So, Andrew, just to clarify here, if Milwaukee and other cities, you're saying, had asked for more help from the National Guard, that we would have seen more polling sites open?
Yes. Yes. The Elections Commission was trying to get them more help. The communication, there was a failure somewhere, either a failure in requesting more guardsmen or a failure by the governor of providing more guardsmen. The legislature doesn't have anything to do with this. They're not the commander in chief. I did emergency management for Governor Walker. I was the liaison between the governor's office and the National Guard. I know how this works. And it broke down in this case. And that communication broke down. That leadership broke down. And what that led to was going from 180 polling locations down to 5. We're going to see a spike in Milwaukee because of that. It's nonsensical what they did in Milwaukee.
Andrew Hitt chairs the Republican Party of Wisconsin. You heard him there. Ben Wickler is here. He leads the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Still time for your calls this hour. What issues do you think Democrats and Republicans should be working together to address right now in regards to the pandemic? Is your top concern the pandemic or something else? What are your priorities right now for state leaders? What should they do in terms of a relief package? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a moment with Andrew Hitt and Ben Wickler right here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We have Andrew Hitt here, chair of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, Ben Wickler as well, chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, and you as we look at takeaways from Tuesday's election, what we learned here in Wisconsin, and what to do going forward. Let's hear some more thoughts now. Franco is joining us from Grand Marsh this morning. Hi, Franco.
Hi, good morning. I believe that the only reason Governor Evers wanted to push the election back is because we've been hearing reports that the numbers weren't favoring his candidate, Jill Karowski. Is there any truth to that? God bless.
Franco, thanks for the call. Ben, what was the delay for Governor Evers to not push the election back sooner?
First, Governor Evers issued the Safer at Home order, shutting down all non-essential businesses across the state. Republican legislators immediately criticized him for doing that. Then that same week, he called for the legislature to mail every Wisconsinite a ballot. Republican legislatures then refused to do that. At that point, a case was pending in federal court to try to move the election. The day after, the judge said that he couldn't do that. It had to be the legislature and the governor. The governor called for the state legislature to move the election. Republican state legislatures refused to do that. Then the governor tried to use emergency powers to move the election. And again, our friends in the Republican Party sued to prevent that from happening and to shut down access to extended absentee voting, even for voters who had duly requested, jumped through every hoop to request their absentee ballots, but hadn't gotten them until after Election Day. So the governor, step by step, methodically tried to do the different things to protect the public's health. And you know, while I wish we'd had a bipartisan agreement weeks ago to move the election, that would have been great. The fact is, when we had the chance to change the election to an all-mail ballot and delay the date with enough time to make the same change that many other states have now done, there are many states, red states and blue states, that have moved their election date and are mailing everyone a ballot. Republican legislators refused to do it. They forced people to choose between exposing themselves and their families and casting a vote. And they made sure that personal protective equipment would go to protecting Robin Voss as he worked the polls in Burlington, Wisconsin, instead of going to a hospital where nurses and doctors are screaming about the shortage of personal protective equipment right now to be able to keep people safe. People are going to die because they were infected with coronavirus on Tuesday. And when they get to the hospital, there might be shortages of face masks and gloves because they were used by Robin Voss and sent to poll workers across the state for an election that did not have to happen in person. And now the Republican legislators are planning to do the same thing on May 12th.
Andrew, I want to pose that question from Franco to you as well. Was this not to delay the election? Did this have to do with a 10-year term on the state Supreme Court and that state Supreme Court seat race?
I mean, I wish I knew the answer to the timeline of events. You know, weeks ago, the governor didn't ask to change the election. Weeks ago, he was still saying, let's do this election. I suspect it has a lot to do with the DNC asking states on March 17th not to change, asking again on March 22nd not to change their election dates. I think what we really need to know here is, what was the communication? What was the advising from our public health officials to the governor during this time period? Was there a failure to communicate on their part or a failure to listen on the governor's part? And that's why we have this 11th hour we have to change. Was it a failure of not understanding that you can't switch to mail-only election on March 28th when the election is April 7th? Even if we push the election out 2 months, you couldn't do that. We're not set up to mail every registered voter a ballot. That's very, very different than absentee, which, Ben, I do agree with you on absentee. And I think Ben did a great job pushing absentees. I think we also did a good job in trying to be helpful pushing absentees. And that's what I think we need to do for the 12th, May 12th election as well.
So if everyone requests absentee ballots on May 12th, you support that?
Yeah, I have no problem with that. I think we shouldn't change the date by which you can select an absentee ballot again by a federal judge. That's why we're in the problem that we are. When you don't follow the law, when you don't follow the Constitution, when you change the law in the midst of a crisis, bad things happen. So, yes, I mean, we have done nothing. I mean, we have pushed and pushed absentees. But you have to understand, I want to be very clear, absentee balloting is very different than mail everybody a ballot. Our system not set up for that. That's not me saying that. That's experts on elections and election law. And even our administrator said we're not able to do that at this time.
Let's bring in Pam now in Sun Prairie. Hi, Pam.
Hi. Don't listen to what they say. Look at what they do. The Republicans tried to push back the election for the Supreme Court. They tried to take it and make it separate from the presidential primary. Why did they do that? They want to disenfranchise people. They want to keep people from voting. It's blatant. They gerrymander. They change the law. when they don't want to change the law when it's to their advantage and when it's to their disadvantage, they want to change the law. It's ridiculous. It makes my blood boil. People didn't get to vote because of this. It's ridiculous. People aren't stupid. People know what they're see what they're doing.
Andrew Hitt.
Yeah, what makes my blood boil is when the governor says he doesn't have the power to do something and then does it. That did more damage to our democracy and our Constitution than anything during this time period. What makes my blood boil is somehow the governor and his team, they're doing a great job changing the narrative and blaming Republicans, and they're getting a lot of traction on that. Unfortunately, it's just not the facts. And I do cherish the right to vote. I cherish the right to vote by everybody. And that's why I am fighting, and that's why I did fight, to not go beyond the Constitution and change the date and do everything we could to have as safe an election as possible and push for absentee ballots. I can't say enough that the risk of changing an election during a crisis is just so substantial. What crisis is good enough? What crisis is big enough?
Well,
what isn't big enough? How do we decide that, and who decides that? And what if a crisis is manufactured?
Hey.
These are legitimate things that are going to result from this plea to change an election during a public health crisis.
So, Andrew and Ben, you both are dads. How are you both and your families staying safe right now? Ben first.
You know, I'm home with my kids. They have seen Daddy with his blood boiling. I have been tearing out my hair and pacing through the house. I'm furious with what Republicans did, and it's very difficult for me to explain to my children why some politicians would make people risk their lives and lose their lives in order to cast their votes. It's very difficult for me to explain that to my children, but that's what I have to do because that's apparently the Wisconsin that we live in now.
Andrew, how about you? How is your family doing at home?
Well, we are homeschooling. That's a challenge. I'm doing the Republican Party of Wisconsin chairman. I have a day job. I'm just a volunteer. While I'm homeschooling, my wife left for the hospital at 7. I had to instruct my kids that if you need something between 7 and 8, you can walk in. If there's an emergency, wave your hands back and forth. If I put my hand up and there's not an emergency, please back out of the room and I will come get you on a break. These are the things that we're all dealing with. And it's tough. And, it's unfortunate. And, you know, my kids have seen the similar thing that probably Ben described. We have opposite views on this. But I do, you had mentioned before, what do we agree on? I would imagine that Ben and I agree on things like being concerned about the levels of domestic violence right now, being concerned about mental health during this time period. Ben and I are professional, and I'm sure we probably agree on those things. And those are the types of things that I think we need to be focused on.
Thank you both for joining us. Andrew Hitt there and Ben Wickler, they're chairs of the Republican Party of Wisconsin and Democratic Party of Wisconsin. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.